You're listening to Messages of Grace. Grace Baptist Church Kelowna exists to bring glory to God through lives transformed by the gospel. As we follow Jesus together as his disciples, family, servants, and witnesses. Now for today's message.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It really is our privilege that in our time together that we're going to be able to share from our team about what we saw the Lord doing in this wonderful place called Transylvania on the other side of the world. And so I want to thank you, first of all, as a church, for praying for our team of seven as we were away between July 21st and August the 5th. And I believe the Lord really heard those prayers and really answered those prayers in ways that are beyond words. But we are going to try this morning. We are going to try to put words toward what happened. And you're going to get to hear from our team members in just a few minutes as they share testimonies about seeing the Lord work. But first, I want to raise this question as we begin this this time of reflection. And this question is, why Romania? Why all the way to Romania? You know, there are many places that any of us can go and serve and share and be a part of God's mission. So why all the way to Romania would our church have a hand in this? And I really believe the answer is because it is the Lord's doing. It's really because the Lord is in this particular relationship. I'd like to share briefly from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And here the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church in Philippi. He said, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." So I'd like you to picture this scenario with me. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's writing from prison. He's in house arrest. And he's there because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And God has taken away his friends and his family as he's in this place. His comfort is gone. His freedom is gone. And if anybody had a reason to be grouchy at this moment, would it not be the Apostle Paul? But here we find Paul is overflowing with joy and gratitude. He says he thanks God every time he remembers the Philippian believers. So even though he's separated from them, he's thankful for them. And what does he thank God for when he thinks of them? How does Paul have something to thank God for when we would look at his situation and think that he has nothing to be thankful for? Well, you saw it there in that verse. In verse 4, he refers to the major source of his joy. And it's that word partnership. You see that in the verse, if it's there again? These believers in Philippi, they had been helping Paul spread the gospel ever since they had first become believers. This letter that we're looking at in Philippians, this is a letter that Paul had written 12 years after he first met and established the church in Philippi. And so this is a partnership that had grown over time. It had strengthened over time, over these 12 years. That partnership between Paul and the church in Philippi, it included prayer, it included people, resources, finances, and their partnership, it says, was in the gospel. They had supported Paul's missionary work to reach more people for Christ and start new churches. And that really speaks to this question I raised. Why Romania? And the answer really is this word partnership. It's relationship. It was 30 plus years ago that the Lord began a partnership between the North American Baptist Conference, which our church is a part of, and between the Hungarian Baptist Convention, which is in Romania. And so, partly there, elsewhere as well. But think about this. Like the Apostle Paul, we experience this physical distance, and yet we're blessed to be a part of this partnership. It's about the spread of the gospel, and it's about these relationships that are rooted into this. And so that's what we're here to share about this morning. We want to share with you this partnership between the North American Baptist churches like ours and the Hungarian Baptist Church that we spent time with in Transylvania. And as his team comes up, let me say this has been an incredible joy to spend time with all these guys and girls. And we got to know each other really well, spending virtually every minute of the day together for about 2 weeks or so. So let me reintroduce everybody. Ed Vowles, Julia Roth, Andreas Roth, Mira Peninga, Jean de Villiers, and unfortunately not with us today, Matthias Carlson. He had to go away for a work trip, so he's not here today. But there were seven of us. And so we want to share a little bit about what we experienced and how the Lord worked. And so the question I'm going to ask everybody, you can answer one or both of these questions. And the questions are, how did the Lord work? How did you see the Lord work in the church and in our midst there in Bihor? And then secondly, what impact or change did the Lord make on you through our time there? So either question or both. And so Ed, if you want to lead us off, thanks.
Okay, yeah, we were privileged to witness the Lord's work in many ways and in great ways. I was excited to see the churches that have been built or put in place in various stages of that. There was a great development we saw at Camp Falcon Rock. In the mid stages, that'll be ready to serve a lot of kids, a lot of youth in the future. We had witnessed the community outreach to the area there through, the pastor there had been working directly with the political leaders, the mayors of the towns, and there's good relationships there. The outreach to the Roma community, we heard stories and things of that had been happening. The church was active in serving the Lord. We found a small church that we had been attending there. They served us as guests. They put every effort in to do that. We saw them just strengthening one another, serving in the church, helping with the VBS and the ESL. So it was a great time. So the second question, the impact or change on me. So I actually, seeing the pictures up there a minute ago, brought me to tears again, and I'm just moved by the love of Jesus. Just so thankful I had the opportunity to join the team. I saw how the Lord provided all we needed for us to fulfill His purpose. Romania. The Lord gave us strength. He gave us words to speak and moved within us to carry out the work. The whole team pulled together in times of of dire need, lack of sleep, unpreparedness, provided in every way. We felt inadequate, unrested, unprepared. And He proved to us, as Philippians 4:13 says, that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. So, thank you.
Thank you.
It almost feels weird being back here, which I didn't really expect. Although I was missing the kids, I was, it was almost like painful to come leave those people there. We made some really good experiences there. And it was just going from being very, very busy all the time and very little sleep to coming back here. Although we are very grateful to be back with our babies, and the Lord kept them safe, so praise the Lord. So being part of this missions trip made a huge impact on my faith and the relationship that I have with Jesus. Having the opportunity to serve the people there was a blessing, hopefully to them, but mostly to myself. I found this experience is something that's going to stay with me forever. I got to help lead some of the Bible lessons along with Brent and Matthias, and through that, in the preparation of reading the Word, studying, and just meditating on the Scripture, I just found that I had a closeness with the Lord that is incomparable to anything I've had before. I noticed that when my strength was ending and I was tired, exhausted, going on very little sleep, like I said, I got to see the Lord step in and take over when I thought I had nothing left to offer, and how He could take that and create something amazing. I got to learn to trust the Lord in a different way. I like to be prepared and very prepped to what I do. The culture in Romania is a bit different. They don't like to be over-prepared. They like to kind of just go with the flow. And that took some adjusting for me. But the Lord is good, and he helped us through that. Knowing that 80% of the people in the VBS and also in the English classes were not of Christian background. So for me, that put a lot of stress on myself, especially with the Bible lessons. But then I noticed it's not about my performance. It's about the Lord working through me. And that was just amazing to see that he can use my weakness for his glory. I got to see how kids that were hungry for affection and love get close to us through lots of hugs and high fives. I saw kids who didn't want to be there in the beginning of the week completely transform and then wanting to be there for the second week as well. I got to see kids change their attitude from when I first asked them what their name was and saying, well, my name is so-and-so, and I am not a Christian, to by the end of the week just saying, like in the Bible studies, being the first person to answer every single question and helping with the translation if their English was good enough, and just being eager to hear the stories and being very engaged in the Bible stories. And yeah, I just got to see the Lord's hands all over these 2 weeks, and I'm just so grateful that I got to be a small part of his plan. And I'm also very thankful to the church here for all your guys' prayers. We really did feel them when we were over there.
Yeah, we definitely saw God's work firsthand on this trip in Transylvania. So for me, one of the most memorable things to witness was how God opened the hearts of the people there to receive us. From the pastors and the members of the church that hosted us, some even welcomed us in their homes, to the people of the community, even that were not Christian or not church members, that still received us, and especially the children. We came as strangers, but they received us as friends and even as family. I have to think of some of the deep and personal conversations we had with some of the brothers. And I thought to myself, we're speaking as if we always knew each other. Also, the children were open to receive us with our songs, our games, and even the Bible and the English lessons. That, to me, in itself is a work of God, to open the hearts and minds of these children, to listen, to ask questions like, what is faith? How do we pray? How does God speak to us? And then on days where our limits of strength and abilities were met, we saw God show up and lead us and make things happen. And that we know that it was not because we planned it or our efforts. It was also not due to our performance, because we were just too tired. We were at the end of our strength. At the end of our preparation, we walked into the unknown sometimes, and then we saw how God made things happen. He just blessed us. Just letting us be part of this service that is happening there in Transylvania is an amazing privilege and a blessing. We were surely blessed being there through what we got to witness. And though we long to be home with our family again, a part of my heart stayed there with the people of Transylvania. I pray every day for the friends we made there and the family we got to know there. And I pray also that this is the beginning of a long-standing partnership, as we heard today, so that we as a church continue to be able to partner with them and grow with them.
For me, I just saw God work within the young people, like specifically teenagers, like 15 through 20, and how strong they were in their faith, how much they center their life around Christ. Today's day and age, I don't really see that in my generation, and so it was really cool to see how much they just dig deep and want a deeper and stronger relationship with God. And personally, God really put on my heart the story of Mary and Martha. So I can refresh your memory, because I know I needed to refresh mine. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Now that it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. As she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and he approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered, said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." I found that throughout the week of ESL that I was just worried about having everything perfect, having all the lessons planned in advance, instead of the relationships that we had with the people there and the young generation. So God put this on my heart around Tuesday, and he was just told me to do a 180 and just focus and dive deep into the relationships. And that just changed over the past 4 days that we had there, and it just strengthened the relationships that I have there with the young generations and the young girls that I met.
I'd just like to start off by firstly thanking God for the opportunity that I was able to go to Romania. You know, all these things said, I feel the same way, so I'm not going to stand here and reiterate them all, but, you know, the one thing that did stand out to me the most was the people there and my ability to connect with them so quickly. In the beginning, I thought it was going to be a bit of a challenge. They were a bit standoffish, so, you know, but by the end of it, God helped me connect with these people, and to me, that's gives me the most joy in life when I'm able to connect with people, and yeah, that was the most meaningful part of the trip to me. I do just want to say a special thank you to the church for donating all their hard-earned money to this trip, and it definitely helped bring down the cost for all of us. Horst, I just want to say a special thanks to you for all your hard work as well, and for Giovanni too. It was lovely getting to know you guys. Thank you.
Thank you to each to all of you. There's a few minutes left, and I have a few things that I think we want to share today from the Word of God as well. But since a few thank yous were handed out, in case our brothers and sisters in Transylvania see this, I want to say thank you so much to Pastor Jolt and Pastor Tomas for everything. They're just an incredible couple men who love the Lord and who are shepherding their churches so well, and did so much for us while we were there. I also want to say thank you to Paul and Tanya Gericke, who are the NAB field directors in Romania, who oversee all the different ministries that our NAB is a part of, and in particular work with Camp Falcon Rock. And Paul and Tanya facilitated our trip, helped did orientation and debriefing, and were just incredible in serving us this whole experience. So thank you to them. You heard this morning about relationship. You heard about partnership. You got a glimpse of how the Lord worked in those relationships, and how there was an openness to the Word of God going out, and the children, the youth, and everybody were so open to hearing God's Word. And I believe that God planted many, many seeds in the lives of those children. As you heard this morning, in both camps, maybe 80% of the kids were not from church backgrounds. So the Lord has planted seeds, and we want to pray that he'll continue to water them and now grow those as well. Also, we were incredibly blessed by the hospitality. It was off the charts. We were treated too well by our hosts. The food was amazing, as you can imagine, and it's unforgettable. And this morning, as we turn to Scripture for a little bit here, our passage is about food. And so I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 6 if you have a Bible. And there's Bibles in front of you in the pews. John chapter 6, we're going to spend just a few minutes reflecting on some truths from what we find in this passage. So John 6, 1 to 15, and then also verse 35. And so let's hear the word of the Lord. I'll read our passage. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And then we read later on in verse 35, as Jesus explains all this, it says this, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Well, this passage is this miracle that we read about, the feeding of the 5,000. Did you know this is the only miracle of Jesus that's recorded in all 4 Gospels? So it shows up in every Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when we were in our time in Romania, there was something interesting that I observed. Every time we would stop for a meal, seemingly, there was something that showed up at virtually every meal. There was one kind of food item that was always present at the table. Now, I know you can guess what it is. What was it? It was bread. Absolutely. In fact, one of the leaders in the church owned a bakery, and we enjoyed his bread every day, all the time. And we are praying for that family, by the way. You can pray for this family, as they're one of the families in the church who's been undergoing some severe health trials. So pray for these families who've been experiencing these hardships in the church in Bihor. But in any case, the story that we're looking at, here's the background. These 12 disciples, they'd returned from a missionary journey, one that Jesus had sent them on. And it was during that same period, Jesus had received the upsetting news that King Herod had killed his cousin, John the Baptist. So the context reminds us that life is hard. Tragedy happens to us all. And Jesus decides to set sail to the Sea of Galilee, and he wants to find a remote place. He wants to rest. He wants to pray. And I think we can all appreciate that, right? Do you ever just feel like, I need rest. I need to get away. Life is overwhelming. Amen. And we felt that on our trip almost at every turn. And so when the people, though, when they see that Jesus is in the area, they're rushing to see him. They're bringing sick friends and family so that they can be healed. Jesus sees the crowd, and then what? He has compassion on them. In the midst of his tiredness, he has compassion. He doesn't sail further away. He stops to teach them about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And after a busy day, the disciples, they're encouraging Jesus now to send the crowds away, have them go somewhere else and find food and rest. The disciples, they're fearful. They're fearful of their lack of resources, that they're not going to find food in such a remote place to give to these people. Jesus, he looks at the crowds. He sees the 5,000 men plus women and children. And what does he do? The other gospel accounts tell us that he tells the disciples to feed them. If you're the disciples, what are you thinking? This is impossible. Where are we going to find bread in such a remote place? Philip responds by saying this would cost 200 denarii. That's more than 8 months' worth of salary. And then what happens? Andrew brings a young boy. This boy has 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. It's not much, but he brought it to Jesus. Jesus orders the crowd to sit down in groups of 50. Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, gives it to the disciples to pass around, and everybody eats. 12 baskets of leftovers are collected. So this was a miracle. Without a doubt, this is a miracle. Jesus fed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And an important thing that we want to know about miracles in the Bible is that miracles are a sign to the world. Jesus is pointing out his identity. The miracle is not really just about the bread and the fish. The miracle is to point to his identity. Jesus performed this to glorify God and to prove that he is the Son of God. And we know that Jesus' greatest miracle was that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the 3rd day. It's that he made the way for us to live with God forever. So that's the story. That's the story. Now, what can we learn from it in the time that we have? What can we learn from this story? I want to point out 4 truths that are obvious, but we can't miss them in our lives. Number 1, Jesus cares for our needs. He cares for our needs. Jesus, in this passage, tells the disciples to feed the crowd. He ministered to their spiritual need. He healed them. He taught about the kingdom of God, but he didn't stop there. When he noticed that they were getting hungry, he gave them bread. And so we need to recognize this morning this simple truth that Jesus actually cares about our spiritual needs and our physical needs. Jesus actually even identifies with our needs. When we stop and think about it, he identifies with us as people. Jesus himself, when he came, he took on a physical human body. He entered our world. He experienced hunger in Matthew 4. He experienced thirst in John 19, 28. He knew tiredness, John chapter 4, 16. He understands the need of our physical and our spiritual needs. And so there's something here for us this morning to recognize that Jesus understands our needs and he calls us to care for others in their physical and spiritual ways. This is something that we experienced with the church in Bihor. We saw this church that had devoted themselves to pouring themselves out to the needs of the community. They ran 2 camps back to back, a week long, 5 days and 5 days, full day camps with meals. There's a lot of cooking that these people did to pour out, to meet these kids, to meet these youth. And then they put the hospitality, and then they gave the hospitality to us as well. Caring for physical needs and spiritual needs, showing God's love in words and in deeds. And so we see here that Jesus calls us to do the same. We are called to share the gospel with our words and our actions. In our story today, though, we might notice that, yes, Jesus had this power to give people what they needed. He gave them bread. And we need to be careful to realize it doesn't mean that there will always be a miracle for every difficulty that we have in our lives. We will still face difficulties in our lives. There are moments when we will not be sure how God is going to provide for us. But Jesus shows us here that he's showing that he can provide for our greatest need, that he can provide for our greatest need of forgiveness of sins. Even in our difficult times, we recognize that Jesus has provided our salvation. It's secure. If we're in Christ, it cannot be taken from us. We have an eternal hope, and we can trust the Lord to care for our deepest needs. And in the same way, to go out and share that with others. A second lesson I want to share with us in the time that we have, we can't miss the obvious, that God can do a little with, he can do a lot with our little. God can do a lot with our little. Perhaps we look at times in our lives and we think this is an impossible situation. And it's so much easier to focus on what we don't have than what we do have. Philip, in our story, he looked at the crowd. He saw this impossible task. Jesus looked at the crowd and he saw a need. And we see here that God was calling them to something that he would not resource them for. And there are times in our lives when we might look and say, I don't have everything I need or everything I want to serve the Lord. But God will provide what is needed. And I think we heard that this morning in our testimonies, as our team was tired and exhausted. And believe me, that was true. This team was going from 7:30 in the morning, sometimes till 10, 11, or midnight at night before we got home. And then you get up and do it the next day. But the truth is, the Lord is able to resource us. To give him a little, and he can do a lot. What about each of you is my question today. We have a choice. We have a choice to complain about our lack, or we can give to Jesus what we do have, even if it seems to be a little. Andrew brought the little boy with a little packed lunch. This boy with this lunch, it didn't seem like much, but Jesus multiplied it to feed the crowd. Everyone ate and everyone was satisfied. And so I want to ask this morning, what do you have that you can give to Jesus? What do you have that you can give to him? Don't worry about your spiritual gifts or taking some fancy test or having enough money, $1 million. What things do you have that God can use? Would you serve him with the little that you have and watch God multiply? Third lesson, Jesus invites us to serve with him. That might seem obvious to us, but would you consider the deeper context of the story? How easy would it have been for Jesus to feed this crowd all by himself? He didn't need the disciples. He could have commanded manna to fall down from heaven, just like it did in the wilderness in the Old Testament. But he invited others to serve with him. He tells the disciples to feed them. And so Jesus even also invited this little boy to be a part of the miracle. So kids, it's good that you're in our service today. Kids, are you listening to me at all? Kids, Jesus invited this little boy to be a part of this miracle. And we can be sure that he never forgot this. Imagine if the boy had thought that his lunch was not enough for Jesus. He would have missed out on that wonderful experience of what God did. And so it's amazing that God invites you and me to partner with him in ministry. That's God's way. Ever since the beginning, in Genesis even, we read that God created the world with no help from anybody else, but when it was done and when it was perfect, he told Adam to cultivate it and to keep it. God invites us to partner with him in a ministry that's bigger than himself. So how is God inviting you to serve him? There's implications of this. Don't miss this obvious, simple truth that God is inviting us to serve with him. How is he inviting you to serve with him? The implication is how do we see the church? How do we look at the church? Is church a place to come and to be served only? Or is it a place to serve with the Lord, to join him and serve him? How is God inviting you to serve him this day? Now, lastly, one more truth in the time that we have. One more truth that's so obvious, but we dare not miss it, and it's simply this, that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. That's the whole point of this miracle. And by feeding the 5,000, yes, Jesus provided for their physical needs, but it was a sign pointing to something greater, a greater need that only he could meet, a spiritual need. The next day, Jesus called himself the bread of life. He meant that only he is able to satisfy your soul. Only he is able to provide forgiveness, friendship with God, and eternal life. And unfortunately, there were many in that crowd who didn't get the meaning of this miracle. They missed it. They ate the bread, and they still missed it. They were more drawn to the miracle than to who Jesus is himself. They were more interested in the physical than in this spiritual life that lasts forever in knowing Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever, it's open to everybody, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Only Jesus can satisfy our souls forever. He won't disappoint us, but we must hunger and thirst for him more than anything else. And so the encouragement is to not be like this crowd, not to just seek Jesus for what we think he can give us, satisfy our physical needs, but to seek him for who he is, the true bread of life. And that was really our closing prayer for the children at the ESL camp. As we held up that bread that we ate every day, and we said, this is our prayer for you, to know that only Jesus can satisfy our souls. Only he can provide forgiveness, friendship with God, and eternal life. And to hunger for him, our prayer is that you'd hunger for him more than anything else. Go to him every day to experience his provision and his life. And that's going to be our prayer for us today as well, that each one here would seek Jesus, not for what we think he can give us physically, but to seek him for who he is, to seek him as the bread of life, the one who offers forgiveness, friendship with God, and eternal life. That's our prayer for each person. Have you come to that place? Have you come to that place where Jesus is the bread of life, and you hunger and thirst for him? And let him satisfy your deepest needs. As we wrap up, we want to praise God for this partnership in Transylvania. And you know, a mission trip really serves as an opportunity to do this. It serves as an opportunity to help us figure out how we should live our lives normal at home. All the things that we just experienced and all the things we just talked about, it really is God's design that we would live them out every day here where we are. It's supposed to be normal in our everyday lives, and so that's our prayer that this would happen, that we would deeply trust that Jesus cares for our needs, and we want to go likewise and care for others' needs, that we would trust that God can use the little that you have in amazing ways. So what is the little that you can give him? And to trust that Jesus invites us to serve him. Will you accept his invitation? Will you not miss out? Will you join in serving him? And then to trust, of course, that Jesus is the bread of life. Will you hunger and thirst for him? Will you go to him every day for relationship and for life? And so I want to encourage us in these things this morning. And so, church, would you stand with me as we close in a word of prayer? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to thank you today for the gift of life in sending your son Jesus into this world for us, that while we were sinners, you sent your son to die for us, to pay for our sin, but Jesus, that you rose again, that you're alive, and there's life in knowing you. Thank you, Lord, for this today, this what we celebrated today, this relationship of knowing this church in Transylvania. Thank you for the partnership there. Thank you for all that you've done and what you're doing with our Hungarian Baptist brothers and sisters. It's our prayer, Lord, that you would bless the church in Bihor. Would you bless them, the children, the youth, the many outreaches that they're doing? Would you bless Pastors Zsolt and Tomás? Give them strength to shepherd and lead as they are. And Lord, for us today, whether we ever go somewhere far away or not, it's our prayer, Lord, that you would normalize these things in our lives where we are. Lord, that you would help us to live out your purposes and your mission every day where you've placed us. That we would serve with you, that we would give the little that we have, trusting that you can use it in amazing ways. And we want to thank you for being the bread of life today. May we trust you, the only one who's able to satisfy our souls forever. Help us to love you most and obey you more each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about Grace Baptist Church or to join us in person, you can go to www.gracekelowna.com.